Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is indeed the broadcast for November the 21st in the year of our Lord, 2016. This is hour two of two, and our goal remains the same, steady as a rock. That is to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. If you want an incredible hour of talk radio, last hour we had our guest on, Mr. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org. And we talked about the UPMA annual summit, one member's perspective, UPMA.org. If you want to learn about an example for constitutional currency, honest money in the Olympic state of Utah, and hopefully spreading across the nation, there it is, UPMA.org. Larry Hilton, well-known gentleman, should be the next Treasury Secretary under the Trump administration. We pray that happens. We talked about that, an incredible opportunity to return to honest money in America, in contrast with currency controls in India. Disaster in the making, just like Venezuela and other countries. Fiat money never lasts, folks. Remember that and know why the Founding Fathers put honest currency, honest weights and measures in place, because they wanted a sound, stable society based on assets, not debt, not fiat, not manipulatable by the government. Well, anyway, I digress, except to say incredible contrast last hour with Lowell Nelson, Campaign for Liberty. We also talked about Kansas talk, but no walk. And we talked about the state sovereignty is in question. Kudos to the legislator of the state of Kansas, or the legislature, I should say. They considered and approved the law. And then the governor for signing the law. What was the law? A government at the federal level doesn't have any authority to violate our right to keep and bear arms. So the state and the Second Amendment, constitutional. The feds out of line, out of control, and need to be stopped. Well, the failure of the state to act in protecting the rights of these citizens is tragic, to say the least. The attorney general for the state and the federal attorney general at the time both failed when it comes to understanding the proper role of limited government and the supreme law of the land. Now we need to prosecute the federal officials that arrested these two gentlemen, Mr. Cox and Mr. Kedler. These two gentlemen created and sold a silencer, which should be protected by the state of Kansas. But no. The question is Kansas a sovereign state or not? Who will interpose between the feds and the citizens of Kansas? Remember, ladies and gentlemen, an attack on liberty everywhere if you attack it somewhere. All right? We need to understand that simple principle. We need the sheriffs to stand up, the governor to stand up, the state attorney general to stand up, the legislative bodies to stand up, and it goes on and on. Anyway, I don't want to spend forever on this, but I do want to make sure you understand last hour was an absolute epic hour when it comes to the sacred principles that make America great. Welcome to the broadcast. In fact, the conversation was so good. What do they say in show business? We got an encore going on. Kurt Crosby standing with both arms raised above his head, shouting right now, going, yeah, bring him back, bring him back. Right, Kurt?
Oh, yeah. Mr. Lowell Nelson does a tremendous, job.
Hi, Lowell.
I know.
Good morning, Sam. Good to still be with you this morning.
Campaign for Liberty, bring back an encore of Lowell Nelson. Because we wanted to talk about the Electoral College versus the National Popular Vote. This conversation is really important from an educational standpoint, Lowell.
It sure is, Sam, because the national popular vote gains a little traction every time the national, in a national election where the winner by popular vote isn't necessarily the winner by electoral vote. And so here's the difference. Yeah, if you count all the votes cast across the nation in all the states for the presidential candidates, it's something like, it's really close. It's like 62 million to 61 million. I don't have the exact numbers.
And you're right, according to the tally they show, except for I say that it's fraudulent, Lowell, because there's experts who have now projected about 3 million illegals voted as well.
Right, and that those 3 million illegal votes went to the Democrat candidate. And so there is certainly even some question that Hillary Clinton won the popular vote. But the mainstream media would tell you today that she won the popular vote and that Trump won the electoral vote. Now, the electoral vote is not the sum of votes cast by people, by citizens, at the ballot box on November 8th. The electoral vote has yet to happen. In fact, that will occur on December 19th when the presidential electors of each state will, on that day, cast their ballots. And most of the, you know, historically speaking, the presidential electors will cast their ballots for the presidential candidate who won that state. So, like in the state of Utah, presidential candidate Trump won the popular vote in the state of Utah with, what was it, like 30% or 35% of the vote or something like that. And then Clinton came in second, McMullen came in third. And so Trump did not win a majority of the votes cast in the state of Utah, but he did win a plurality of the votes cast in the state of Utah. But even though he won only a plurality of the vote, not a majority, it's a winner-take-all system in the state of Utah, with all six electoral votes from the state will be cast on December 19th for the Donald Trump, presidential candidate Donald Trump.
And now, just to stop there, I don't mean to digress, but I want to make this point while you're right here at this juncture.
Yes.
You know, Hillary was incensed that Donald said, I might not accept the election, depending on what happens here and how fraudulent it appears. And you know what, I'll have you guys wait and see if I accept it based on what goes down, which I think is a sound approach. We always want to watch government and make sure that they're doing what they're supposed to. But what's fascinating about that is now Donald clearly won, Hillary lost, but they can't accept the fact that Donald won. And now what they're hoping to do is engineer a coup at the Electoral College, saying, you know what, break from tradition. don't mirror your state's mandates and laws. Ignore all that and reject Donald Trump at the Electoral College. Now, I don't believe that it's going to happen, but that's what Hillary's camp is advocating for right now.
In fact, Sherrilyn Eager, one of the presidential electors in the state of Utah for the Republican Party, she received a call a couple of weeks ago from somebody back east who was urging her to cast her vote for somebody other than the winner of the presidential election in the state of Utah. So, in other words, so apparently what ensued, I was not a party to that conversation, but I just heard Sherrilyn talk about this after the fact, that it turns out to be a fairly good conversation where Sherrilyn educated the caller about the Electoral College and the way the framers of the Constitution envisioned it working. And it turned out to be really quite educational. Not a lot of people know how the Electoral College was designed to work. But so let me just point this out, that the members of the Electoral College are common, ordinary citizens like you or me who are not connected or paid. They're not employed by the federal government. They're not connected in any way to the federal government. So they basically are a disinterested party. Obviously, they have an interest in the outcome of the election. That's their responsibility. But they were to put down on their ballot two names, the names of two people, and one of them could not be in their state. So if this were the late 1790s and Sherrilyn Eager was a presidential elector, she would write down the name of two people who were alive at that time, who she deemed to be presidential, would make great presidents or great executives of this republic. And maybe she put down George Washington on one piece of paper. Maybe she would put down the name of Thomas Jefferson or James Madison or somebody, people who were well respected. And she would do this without consorting with electors in other states. She wouldn't know what presidential electors in Colorado were saying. She wouldn't know who the electors in Florida were voting for. But basically, she would write down the names of two people that she esteemed highly would be marvelous, marvelous executives of this republic. And then in January, the president of the Senate would count these votes. They would gather the votes from all of the states of the union, and then they would open up these ballots, and the person who received the most votes would be president, and the person who received the second most votes would become the vice president. That is how the founders envisioned the Electoral College working from the beginning. Now, we've come far afield from that way since then, and it's a very, very different system nowadays, but that's how the founders wanted it to work, Sam.
Quick pause, ladies and gentlemen. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org. This is critical to understand the vital check and balance. They want to get rid of it, folks.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello everyone, James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, Kirk Cosby brought up on the break, and I agree with him. We got to get Lowell Nelson every Monday on the broadcast. He just does a tremendous job. He has so many informative topics to cover. Lowell, we'll have to talk to you about this after the show if you have time for this. We don't want to just rope you in on the air where you can't say no. But, man, we'd sure love to work on that because the content that you bring to the table is so riveting, so educational, so necessary. We're currently talking about the Electoral College, ladies and gentlemen, how vital it is. And people don't understand it's a literal check and balance the founders put in place that makes sure that the small states have representation. And the mainstream press would manipulate this and say, you got a bunch of backwoods, crazy redneck farmer hicks out there that want to stop the, you know, modern cities from progressing. And don't let them sell you the lie, folks. Okay, is designed to make sure that Americans have a check and balance. the system in America was designed to move slow, designed to protect everyone, and make sure that in the name of expediency, we don't, by mistake, pardon the phrase, sell the farm. We've got to be very careful to understand this. The electoral vote is designed to methodically create a check and balance on the popular vote. That's what prevents us from being a pure democracy and going demon crazy. It's what prevents tyranny from resulting from the few controlling the masses. The checks and balances literally create a republic, a form of representative government where we, the people, can literally have our say in multiple ways. One at the ballot box, that's the democracy portion, or the democratic portion, but then tempered by appropriate checks and balances that literally make sure that nobody gets too much power. That's the design of the founders, brilliantly put forth, Lowell.
And the states were to have equal representation in the Senate, as you know, but that was short-circuited by the 17th Amendment. The 17th Amendment amended the Constitution in the way the senators were selected. See, the Senate was to be represent the states, and the House was to represent the people of the states. That was the design of the framers. And the president was not to be selected by popular vote. They expressly rejected that method of selecting the president. They talked about it. They discussed it. They considered it, and they decided that was not what they wanted to accomplish. In other words, that would be more democracy, and they knew that democracies all were short-lived and that they denied people their liberty. And the best way to protect and defend the liberty of the people was to have the states, the sovereign states, help to keep the national government from growing in power and to become tyrannical. And so they expressly designed the government in such a way that the states would retain their sovereignty. Remember that the states are the ones who created and ratified this Constitution. They are the masters. They and the national government is the servant. And it's a terribly unfortunate that today the federal government or the national government is trying to be more powerful and, in fact, probably is de facto more powerful than the states. Well, the states need to turn that around. We've talked about state sovereignty in Kansas today. We've talked about getting everybody on board in a state so that you don't hang your citizens out to dry, which is what happened in Kansas. And we talked about the example of Larry Hilton, where he was able to get all the stakeholders to the same table to buy in and approve the legalization of gold and silver coin as legal tender in the state of Utah. And now we're making great progress on that avenue. Well, we need to do the same in Kansas. Everybody needs to be on board, the attorney general, the district attorneys, the sheriff. Everybody needs to be on board with the protection of life, liberty, and property of the citizenry. It needs to happen in this state. It needs to happen in your state. So not only is it important to get good legislation, and I know that Kansas legislation was good, but you also need to have everybody on board with it. Now, and so getting back to the national popular vote, that is a dangerous movement. It's dangerous because it leads us further down the road of democracy. National popular vote is the concept where it would be a pact among consenting
states. That's why when people say, you know, our democracy this, our democracy that, we need to politely stop them at that lie. I know it's an innocent mistake by many, but the problem is it's propaganda by the few that want to eventually move us to a democracy. And you see the continued use of a democracy along with continued efforts to move us towards one. And the 17th Amendment's a great example of it. Moving us away from the Electoral College is another example of it. I mean, the list goes on and on, but we need to reject this whole notion. We're not a democracy, never have been. In fact, the founders are very leery of a democracy. They knew that it could go demon crazy on us, and the popular, you know, the will of the people at large could be manipulated by the few, who could gain too much power. They could become judge, jury, and executioner all in one. And the checks and balances at every level is designed to prevent that. And so even when innocent people use the word democracy and run around in America and say this, I stop them at it. Not because I want to argue, not because I want to play the contrarian, but because I want to make sure we understand that we don't get used to that term and accept that as what we have. It'll rewrite history on the fly to our detriment, Lowell.
Well, that's a great point, Sam. Words are, you know, laws are words, and words have specific meanings. And so the power of the word democracy versus the power of the word republic, we need to be very careful. And I'm glad that you do that, Sam, to help correct people and build correct thinking, good thinking habits. Now, NPV, for those who don't know, it's a pact among consenting states that would require their presidential electors to cast their electoral vote for the candidate who wins the most popular vote. And so think about this, ladies and gentlemen. If your state passes a National Popular Vote Act, then you would be requiring your presidential electors to cast their electoral vote for the presidential candidate who gets the most popular vote.
And really, the next step along that line of thinking is, why have the Electoral College anyway if they're nothing but a rubber stamp? Just dump the whole thing and quit wasting time on the exercise. That's the lie that follows next.
Exactly right. And this would be a de facto amendment of the Constitution without going through the process of amending the Constitution. And so I want to remind our listeners, Sam, of the sage advice of President George Washington, who in his farewell address of 1796 said, this, if in the opinion of the people, the distribution or modification of the constitutional powers be in any particular wrong, let it be corrected by an amendment in the way which the Constitution designates, but let there be no change by usurpation, for though this is in one instance may be the instrument of good, it is the customary weapon by which free governments are destroyed. End of quote. Basically, he's saying, look, if we're going to change the Constitution, let's do it the honest way. Let's amend the Constitution. Let's get that amendment, that proposed change, ratified by three-fourths of the states. But let's not change the Constitution by usurpation. That's an important word, usurpation. And this NPV, this National Popular Vote Movement, is a usurpation of the Constitution. Let's heed the advice of the President George Washington. Let's not usurp this power, this delegation of authority by the states. Let's retain this authority. Let the states retain their sovereignty. Let the states be represented properly in Congress, in the Senate, and in the election of our president.
One of the other interesting things is then the further they move us away from the Constitution, but feign constitutionality, then they tell you how the Constitution doesn't work and we got to do everything but the constitutional solution for the restoration of freedom. And then they lie and lead you even further away. We got to return to the principles that work, folks, and dismantling it one step at a time and violating checks and balances and the moral code of America is not the answer. Lowell Nelson, stay with us. We got a couple other topics and I want to get your way in. We'll do it in seconds on your favorite talk station.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Although he had spoken extensively of his desire to reduce the U.S. role in NATO and revise its mission, President-elect Donald Trump has agreed with NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg that Washington will remain firmly committed to the alliance and the shared defense of Europe. The President-elect and the Secretary General both underlined NATO's enduring importance and discussed how NATO is adapting to the new security environment, including to counter the threat of terrorism, summarized a joint communique following a phone conversation between them. They claimed that progress has been made on fairer burden sharing, but there is more to do regarding the apportionment of expenses involved in maintaining the regional body. Since the breakup of the USSR in December 1991, European military spending has been reduced to historic lows, and Washington is currently underwriting approximately 3/4 of the military costs of NATO. You are listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com. In the midst of assembling his national security team, President-elect Donald Trump turned for advice to a figure who embodies the establishment Trump has railed against, former Secretary of State Henry Kissinger. Trump, who has no foreign policy experience or indeed time in political office of his own, had already met with Kissinger during his campaign and was delighted to welcome him to Trump Tower, reports the Times of Israel. "I have tremendous respect for Dr. Kissinger and appreciate him sharing his thoughts with me," Trump said following the meeting, during which they reportedly discussed China, Russia, Iran, Europe, and global affairs in general. For commentary and insights on a troubled world, visit Joel Skousen's worldaffairsbrief.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today. Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live. Several things. One, I just got an email from my buddy Tom DeWeese, American Policy Center. And the email says, drain the swamp. Oh, man, let's get it done. Amen to that plan. That's number one. Number two, Kirk Cosby's suggestion to have Lowell Nelson with us, not every other Monday. We had Lowell once a month, and then he was so good we put him twice a month. And now we just confirmed off air that, you know what, Lowell has time. He's going to be with us every Monday, first hour of the broadcast, Kurt, to break down what he's got on his mind. The problem is I just feel bad. Sometimes we don't get to all of his topics. There's just so many good things to talk about. And so we're going to have him every Monday now. It's already been confirmed. Lowell, we welcome you, my friend, and we're glad to have you.
Well, thank you, Sam. It's good to be with you, and whatever I can do to help in the cause of liberty, I will do.
All right. Every Monday now, Kurt. What do you think of that?
Well, that's good news, Sam. I mean, probably the New York Times will be wanting to interview Lowell and, see what kind of a racist he is or hanging around with us.
You go. Now, the thing is he is a racist. He believes in one race, the race of God's children. Right, Lowell?
Mm-hmm. That's right. Every human being on this planet, Sam, is a child of our Heavenly Father. And
those who keep His commandments are blessed, and those who don't, they miss out on quite a bit, sir.
That's right. That's the process of growing up as human beings. We need to learn what is right and wrong, and we make choices. Some are good, some are bad. We hopefully learn from our bad choices and learn to make right choices, and thereby become more and more like our Heavenly Father.
Even white people?
Even white people.
Oh, everybody, huh? Whoa, all right, good.
Yeah, blind people, white people, black people.
Oh, no. Blind people, that's crazy.
All race, colors, and creed.
Yeah, amen. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. That's just how we roll. All right, Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org with us. Any quick tidbits on the Electoral College? I know it's a really broad topic, but we want to finish that really quick and then move to a couple of topics Kurt has that I think you'll be fascinated with, Lowell.
Yes, just the final word on that. National Popular Vote is a movement to submarine or torpedo the Electoral College as envisioned by the framers, and I view the National Popular Vote as a very dangerous thing, and I would urge all of us, all of our listeners everywhere throughout the country not to support the national popular vote. Obviously, it's popular. I mean, people like to have a say in stuff, but recognize, please recognize that by doing so, we prevent the state from their proper representation in government, and that's a huge mistake because the states were designed to interpose themselves between the national government and the citizenry. Once we eliminate the states from that palladium of liberty, we will not be able to withstand the onslaught of tyranny and oppression under the hand and under the fist of our national government.
All sold under the psychotic banner of expediency. Don't let it happen, ladies and gentlemen. Please reject NPV. All right, Kirk Cosby, you brought up this article, and we didn't have time.
Just a quick thing on that NPV deal.
Sure.
I was noticing it looks like one of the big pushers, in my opinion, is what's called PRI. PRI is Public Radio International. And when you look in, if you go to their website, you'll find that, they're all updated to, their latest annual financial report is 2013. I think it's 2016 now, but anyway. When you look at those donors, if you will, there's a government section in there, which is you and I supporting our competition, I guess you'd say. And these guys, you've got the National Endowment for the Arts, the National Endowment for the Humanities, and then you got a boatload of corporations. I couldn't find the Clinton Foundation. I figured they might be on the list. But they are actively promoting, this whole elimination of the Electoral College. So your own government, your own tax dollars, through things like the Public Radio International are working against, I guess you could say, your own government, but it's
well, and the sad part about it is that the government violating the proper role of government. Reject democracy, ladies and gentlemen. Stand for a constitutional republic. Reject the NPV, the National Popular Vote, trying to disassemble the Electoral College. Don't let them dismantle the checks and balances that made America great, folks. Don't let them do it.
And it's rather interesting to me on this whole deal that, Trump has said, well, hey, I'll compete with the popular vote, too. In other words, he's saying, hey, I could have won that. And, the point, at least one of his main points there is, hey, this is the game the way it was. And this is the way it is with the Electoral College. For the Clintons, especially Hillary, to all of a sudden give a wink and a nod to the whole idea of, hey, well, see what you guys can come up with on this popular vote thing. In other words, changing the game, after the results are in, is just, it's just, as we would say in sports, a sore loser kind of thing. And, he says, and I believe that
he's
right.
Hold on, Kurt.
He could have won.
I invite Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
Yep. There you go.
Yeah. But, I do agree that he, in my opinion, what the campaigns don't do, most of them, is spend money where they see that, hey, they're going to lose and not get the electoral vote, so why put money in there? And if you're Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton, even using her lawyerese and all that stuff, she didn't put much money in places where I think she was figuring she'd lose. It's silly to kind of rethink this whole thing after the election, in my opinion.
Well, unless you want to destroy America, then it makes perfect sense to just batter on that
good
drum,
point.
Buddy.
That's a great point.
Oh, yeah. Just keep banging on those Kong-Kongs until you get it done. That's the problem. We got to reject that notion, ladies and gentlemen. All right. You brought up a story, Kurt, that I want to get to relating to cash. And this should have belonged in the last hour. The problem is we ran out of time, and I wanted to get to it. And I wanted to keep Lowell over so we could comment on it. Kurt?
Yeah. Well, down under, ladies and gentlemen, we're not No, we're not talking about the underbelly of the federal government, but we're talking about Australia. It looks like some branches down there of Citibank, maybe come and do a branch near you, have announced now that they will no longer accept cash. This is according to Simon Black of the Ron Paul Liberty Report. They proposed elimination of Australia's $150 bills, which they claim would be good for the economy and good for the banks. The problem is they want to get rid of paper money. They just don't want to replace it with sound money. Lowell, what do you say?
Well, that's what governments do in history, and they all crash. Those governments that implement fiat currency, and then they have to exercise these controls, what they call currency controls, in order to prevent what they call, you know, corruption and black market activity, and they make it sound devious. But what it really is common ordinary citizens conducting economic transactions with one another, just carrying on the normal business of life. And so because the government can't tax black market activities, and I don't like that term, black market. I mean, it's the marketplace. It's a free marketplace that really was what happened. And the governments can't tax.
But if you call it black market and you change the label, then you destroy any hope of embracing it. It's like calling Lola racist, see? Mm-hmm. You do that, and now nobody wants anything to do with it, no matter the truth, right?
That's exactly right.
It's like pro-choice or the Patriot Act, right?
Exactly right. And so we really need to term this as free market opportunity or free market activity. And because the government can't get a piece of the action, in other words, you can't tax, they don't get any of the money that changes hands during these free market activities. They need to clamp down on their currencies and so forth so that they can force people into using their currencies. What they want to do eventually, as you probably realize and know, is that they want to eliminate cash entirely. They would love to have everything be electronic because then they can control that even more easily than they can, cash fiat currency transactions.
And that's why we point out some Australian Citibank branches stop accepting cash. This is a crossing of the Rubicon. Once you get some branches not accepting cash, banks not accepting cash, once they start that ball rolling, look out, ladies and gentlemen, beware. All right, Ron Paul reveals his list of fake journalists. There's a big old debate about fake news. We'll talk about it in the last segment. Kurt Crosby's got the list from Ron Paul, challenging the liberals' list in the process. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, riding shotgun.
This is Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and I want to introduce you to Numana Storable Foods. This is the first brand of storable foods that I am willing to put my name behind. It's food you can trust. No GMOs, no MSG, no chemical preservatives, and no fake meat. Plus, Numana doesn't just make that claim. They back it up with independent evaluation and testing. Another thing that Numana really does that excites me is the delicious vegetarian options. If your standards are as high as mine, I can confidently tell you that Numana Storable Foods are the quality choice that you've been waiting for. Numana won't just meet your expectations, they will exceed them. And that's why we're thrilled to have the good guys from Numana joining the Power Hour family. Go to powerprepper.com and learn about Numana Storable Foods. You can also call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Numana, the storable food you'll love to eat.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is Mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
I think that my family has always had a big influence on me for not smoking because since I was little, I was taught that smoking was wrong. And in school, from a very young age, I was taught that smoking was not acceptable.
Recent studies indicate that smoking among teens often leads to the use of alcohol and other drugs.
I think smoking, for everybody, no matter what you say, leads to other things because it just opens the door wider and wider.
Other studies have found that if you don't smoke in high school, you probably never will.
I think having faith in God is a big part in it because the way I was raised has helped. And having the faith in God while I was raised and knowing that there would always be somebody there for me has helped to avoid smoking.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to ask you an interesting question. What does Home Depot, Venezuela, Alabama, and rednecks have in common? All right, it's not a joke, Kurt.
Yeah, you're right, Sam. You know, they've got, there's a website called Dollar Today, and it's spelled D-O-L-A-R Today. And apparently this guy that, you know, is from Venezuela and now is a Home Depot employee in Alabama. You know, he runs it with some, you know, other help. The guy's name is Diaz. And, you know, he basically puts on there on his site, well, what's the exchange rate used by his fellow compatriots, they say in the Wall Street Journal article, to buy and sell black market dollars. Now, again, they're the black market dollars, you know, the evil ones, you know. They say this allows them to bypass some of the world's most rigid currency controls, talking about what Lowell mentioned. You know, socialist president Nicolas Maduro down there has accused this DollarToday.com thing of leading an economic war against his embattled government and vowed to jail Mr. Diaz and his two partners, a couple of other Venezuelan expatriates. That means they cruised because they were in trouble or they were going to get after him. So anyway, it's just interesting to me to see these guys helping their buddies. What they say they do, I guess he moved to Alabama in 2005, where a brother and sister were already living, and after being granted political asylum, he became a citizen. Imagine moving there and becoming a citizen. He says, I guess there's about 15 million that changes hands daily on the Venezuela black market. Mr. Diaz says he makes little from his Delaware registered website, which is free to access. I guess I was looking for the one point that I wanted to read from the story, but they basically, the government tells them that, hey, every dollar's worth a certain amount, but the people really know how much they're worth, and they know that funny money they're dealing with is going down.
Lower. Well, and it's just following the pattern of all societies that embrace dishonest fiat money. Okay, so let's be clear. This is not, you know, novel or interesting in any way, except for we see history repeating itself in a very negative way, and we need to make sure that we don't follow that for the greatest country on the face of the earth. That's all.
I guess some people
have
said
that. By the way, this Venezuelan wanted to leave that country and come to the greatest country on the face of the earth, and now he works at a Home Depot, Kurt.
Yeah, that's right. By the way, some people are saying that they sold their website for like big money to the to a pro-government business. His response to that is, if I would have sold, I would be far away in a Maserati, not driving to Home Depot in a Corolla.
Amen to that. Good point. He's right as rain. Anyway, the bottom line, though, is that this Venezuelan understands it, doesn't he, Kurt?
Yeah, you know, they say the website now uses a scanning program to add up dollar buy and sell requests or requests that are posted by Venezuelans on social media sites. The average rate is then checked against the price offered by big underground exchange houses in Venezuela that serve multinational corporations. You know, that's the bottom line is there.
And the reason you got to have the website like out of the United States is because you can't have it in Venezuela. They'll just crush you down and shut it down. But, you know, freedom rings, folks. And there you have it. This Venezuelan running to America for freedom. And he gets it. And, you know, since we're racist, we just wanted to cover that for you. By the way, good for this Venezuelan that understands it. That doesn't, you know, want to just sell out and get rich, but has a purpose.
And one of the reasons, Sam, we've been talking about this topic this morning, we brought on the, we talked about India, and you just mentioned the Citibank there in Australia, Kurt. We're talking about these things to help alert one another, you, our fellow citizens, that currency controls, you know, could happen. Here, you know, we hope they don't, we pray they don't, but remember that we're just simply following history here, and historically speaking, every government that implements fiat currency ends up using currency controls of some kind before the currency fails entirely. I mean, the government, they do anything to maintain their power, to maintain an inflow of revenues into the treasury, and so they implementing currency controls is just one of the ways they do that. So I'm suggesting that the people be prepared, that they have a little gold or silver coin on hand, and be prepared with commodities such that they can survive in economic downturn, or in the event that currency controls are imposed without warning, you know, in this country. I hope it never happens, but history would suggest otherwise.
Yeah, maybe they could have large amounts of honey and they could put them in small amounts just to trade. But anyway,
yeah,
sorry,
like
that's
that,
a
sure.
commercial. In the Wall Street Journal piece, I did find what I was looking for. They say the sites numbers now, that's talking about that dollar today sites. Numbers show the country's economic collapse. Its rate of about 2,000 bolivars per greenback, you know, 2,000 of their dollars for one of ours, is a 44% fall since October. Let's see, October, we're in November. That's a pretty good drop. Official rates, depending, that's the government rates, depending on the type of import, are 10 bolivars per dollar and 660 bolivars per dollar. So, a little difference in the real world to the government.
Yeah, and Mexicans going down to an American dollars at an all-time, or I should say a high within at least more than 13 years. So, you know, Donald Trump wrecking the economy has all been set aside now. Time will tell what's going to happen. The more we embrace free market principles, the more we embrace honest money, the stronger the American example to the world will be. The less we embrace the principles of freedom and liberty and honesty, the less likely we'll emerge as a world leader anytime soon. Tragic but true, we used to be the greatest economic engine ever known to man, and now we've lost our way. We got to find it again, folks, and honest money and the supreme law of the land is certainly where we would point you for solutions. Now, by the way, the mainstream press is running around now. They promoted fake news telling you that Hillary was going to win, telling you Donald couldn't even, you know, find his way out of a paper bag. He literally beat 17 candidates, or 16, I guess, on his own ticket, then to beat the next foe, Hillary Clinton, with vote fraud and everything else in the way. Now, though, ladies and gentlemen, it's fascinating. The mainstream press is running around telling you that Facebook and everywhere else is peddling fake news. And by the way, they are. But the propagandists, the gatekeepers at the mainstream press, have been perpetuators of propaganda and fake news for some time now. Well, anyway, this liberal created a list trying to marginalize a lot of the conservative think tanks and websites, etc. But now Ron Paul's firing back with his own list of ne'er-do-wells peddling fake news, Kurt.
Yeah, it's a great point. And on the RonPaulLibertyReport.com, you can read about it. It says, this is a real fake news list, and it's sourced. And it basically lists the journalists. You got them from ABC, Bloomberg, CBS, CNBC, CNN's got a big bunch of them. Daily Beast, Huffington Post, something called More. Anyway, never heard of that. But then you got MSNBC, NBC, New Republic, New York Times has got a good batch of them. New Yorker, People, Political, The Guardian, The Hill, Vice, Vox, and The Washington Post. So, well, look
at that. And I would add to their
news,
Media Matters and Right Wing Watch and a bunch of other liberal rags that are funded by George Soros and others, specifically attacking Sam Bushman and others. All I'm telling you is we stand by the proper news of the day. I don't usually chase after those propaganda news stories. Anyway, everything we talk about, we tie back to constitutional principles. We talk about either, issues relating to the Founding Fathers, ideas and principles that make sense that we want to help people understand in modern day, and or how to ferret our way through the manipulations and embrace the supreme law of the land, embrace God's moral code for a stable society. And we use the Ten Commandments, the Constitution, and the Declaration of Independence, and the Bible, and Scripture to get that done. And we really advocate for a simpler time of stability and safety, where we all work together for the greater good, where people learn correct principles and govern themselves, if you will. That's what we advocate for. And so, you know what? We very rarely, Kurt, get sideswiped by some of these fake news things, because even if it's a fake news story, we can still talk about the constitutional realities. And so oftentimes it doesn't sway us because of our honest, forthright, clearly articulated agenda, which is to promote God, family, and country, and to protect life, liberty, and property. Pretty simple mantra, pretty simple mission statement, if you will. And we are taking on the mainstream press like never before. But, lol, most of the time we don't even get snookered with this stuff because we don't peddle in that kind of stuff.
Another aspect of this story, Sam, I don't believe you mentioned yet, is that there's a collusion between the Clinton machine and these news organs. Isn't that part of the story? Not only is it...
Yes, it is, but I would say that all the insiders have a collusion going on, too, the Republicans as well.
Yeah. Well... Yeah, they create the fake news, and they also created the polls that were trying to push people into staying home and not voting for Trump and instead voting for Clinton. So,
and the Republicans were really against Trump all the way. Now some of them are kind of signaling they're coming on board, but they did their very best to shut down Trump and to promote a neocon on the Republican side as well. So there's some concerns there, but the bottom line, ladies and gentlemen, just to understand, you got to go to the right places for news, and then you don't get snookered. LibertyNewsRadio.com is one of them. Liberty Roundtable Live, LibertyRoundtable.com is another. LibertyNewsDaily.com is another. Please support us financially. We could use every penny. By the way, we are going to the inauguration of the president in January. We're going to have a constitutional sheriff's event at the same time. Lowell Nelson joining us every month. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Thank you.
This nation shall endure.